Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
In the United States, during the first half of the 19th century, the logging industry dominated the landscape of this country as a massive amount of trees were cut down and hauled out of the forests and down the mountains on sleds and on sledges that many times were drawn by draft horses. And during the winter, a thick layer of snow made the task somewhat easier. But in the spring, as the snow began to melt, and as the ground began to thaw, those paths became a sea of mud and of rocks. And as you might expect, it became extremely difficult to get those logs to market. And an expression developed during that time describing the difficulty of the task of dragging those heavy loads. And it is an expression that you may have heard before. It was said to be tough sledding. An expression that we still use today to describe anything that is difficult and anything that is challenging and that requires determination and patience to complete. And the Christian life can also be described as tough sledding. Because we live in a world all around us that is moving in one direction while we are moving in another direction. And so at times, we experience obstacles and difficulties and challenges because of our faith. As the Apostle Paul has told us already, reminded us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, where he said that living for Christ, standing up for him, doing his work, his way, is difficult. It's toil, he said, because many times it seems that everyone around us is standing against us. And it can be exhausting at times. But Paul tells us, don't lose heart. Do not give up, because our toil, our labor, is not in vain in the Lord. It is not useless. It's not futile. It has value. Because someday there will be a reward for us in heaven as we are welcomed home as good and faithful servants of Jesus Christ. But I think that sometimes the problem is that we are very busy with things that have no eternal value. And while we may be busy, while we may become weary, while it may even be tough sledding, we may not be doing what needs to be done according to the plan of God, according to his will for us. Perhaps we do not need more activity, but perhaps what we need is more divinely led productivity. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 12, Paul tells us how we are to do the work of the Lord in the Lord's way. And he uses himself as an example. And so beginning in verse 5, He gives us an explanation of how he sees the work of the Lord. So he says, there are some among you who do not believe that I will ever come back to see you again. But do not believe them. Do not listen to them. There were still things that Paul needed to teach them, things that he needed to help them to understand, things that he desired to share with them so that he might build them up in their faith. He was committed to those who belonged to Jesus Christ. So first of all, can we draw from this? Well, we're reminded that the work of the Lord requires commitment. It requires our commitment every day throughout our entire life. So he says, I will come back to see you again. That was what was in his mind. That was what was in his heart. He says, that is true, but I will come back after I go through the region of Macedonia, which was on the way to Corinth. So we see that Paul had a plan. He had a strategy. And what can we learn from that? Well, we're reminded that the work of the Lord requires a forward look. It requires some advanced thinking. Perhaps some advanced planning on our part. It requires leaders with a vision of the ministry, with a vision for the people. As it says in Proverbs 19 or 29, verse 18, without vision, without a vision of the word of God, the people will run wild in their sin and they will perish. As Paul was nearing the end of his time of the 3-year ministry in the city of Ephesus, he was already thinking ahead. He was already planning his next move. So he says, I am planning to go through Macedonia, di Erhomai in Greek. I'll visit those church fellowships there in that region, but for a short time. I'll be just passing through that region. And then, perhaps, he says, I will be able to stay with you. Katameno in Greek. I will have the opportunity, perhaps, to remain with you for a while, perhaps for an extended period of time. Or even to spend the winter with you, he says, since travel in that part of the world was extremely hazardous during the winter months. But in the spring, I hope to go on reaching the lost for Christ, revisiting those people in those churches where I have already ministered. So then he says, verse 6, you will be able to send me on my way with provisions for my journey, wherever I may go. But I don't want to see you right now, just passing through. Paradas in Greek, just for a brief moment of time. I don't want to see you like that, but I hope to remain with you. I hope to stay with you for some time. Well, Paul had a plan, didn't he? And it sounds like a good plan. Sounds like a reasonable plan. But we'll notice that his plan was flexible. He said he'd follow that plan, says in verse 7, but only if the Lord permits. Epitrepo in Greek. Only if the Lord allows things to go the way that Paul anticipated that they would go. What can we learn from that? Well, we're reminded that the work of the Lord requires flexibility. on our part as he redirects our steps, as he determines our path. All of our plans, no matter how good they may be, are subject to him. As we're told in James 4:15, where it says, if the Lord is willing, then we shall live. And then we shall do this or that. So Paul says in verse 8, I plan to remain in Ephesus until the Feast of Pentecost. That's the plan. But little did he know that a riot in that city would cause him to flee for his life. We're told in Acts chapter 20. But Paul didn't know that. He didn't know that would happen, and so he remained in Ephesus. Why? Well, because it says in verse 9, a wide door, an open door for effective service, energes in Greek. It's a medical term, a term that means strong medicine. The Lord was giving the people in the city of Ephesus strong medicine, a way into their hearts. Oh, that's the door. That was the door that was being opened, Paul says. The Lord has opened that door. He has opened it, anoigo in Greek. He has broken it wide open, freeing people from the chains of their sin, opening up their eyes to the truth. Wow. That truly is the work of the Lord, isn't it? And where the work of the Lord can be found, there also will be found, it says in verse 9, many adversaries, antikamai in Greek, those who strongly and who sometimes violently oppose the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul says they're all lined up against me. Now, some of us know how that feels. So we're reminded that the work of the Lord being done in the Lord's way will result in opposition. And so at times it will be tough sledding. Ah, but great opposition brings great opportunity for the Lord to work in the lives of people. Today, we've been reminded of several things, haven't we? We've been reminded that the work of the Lord requires a firm commitment from us, a commitment to serve him, a commitment to honor him. It requires vision. It requires a plan of action, a plan of action that's consistent with the Word of God. And we've also learned and been reminded that it requires flexibility. As the Lord leads us and guides us and directs our steps. But we are also reminded that we need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be on guard because the work of the Lord will result in fierce opposition from the enemy of our soul. And these are all good reminders, aren't they? But in addition to these things, Paul tells us in verses 10 through 12, the work of the Lord is a team effort. It is not a solo act. And we learn from Acts 19:22 that while Paul was still in the city of Ephesus, he sent his good friend Timothy and a man by the name of Erastus, as well as other men, into the region of Macedonia, perhaps to visit the church fellowships there, and perhaps some of them even were to carry this letter of 1 Corinthians to the church in Corinth. And Timothy and those who were with him were to go to Corinth in preparation for the arrival of Paul. And so Paul writes in verse 10, now, when Timothy comes to you, see to it, blepo in Greek, carefully consider how you will receive him. His heart has been given to the Lord just as my heart has been given to the Lord. So see that during the time that he is with you, he is without cause to be afraid. Aphobos in Greek, that he's without fear. Treat him with respect. Don't look down on him and don't treat him poorly. For he is devoted to doing the work of the Lord just as I am devoted to doing the work of the Lord. We're co-laborers. We're fellow workers for Christ. So he says in verse 11, let no one therefore despise him. Exoutheneo in Greek. Let no one treat him as nothing of any value. But after he has been with you for a time, send him on his way in peace. Do for him as you would do for me, so that he may come back to me. For I expect him, I long to welcome him back along with the other brothers who are with him. And though the Apostle Paul may be well known to us, there were a number of people who worked together with Paul over the years, and some of them we know, some of them are named in the Bible, but there are others who are now only known to the Lord. But the bottom line is this: they all worked together to bring the truth of the message of Jesus Christ to the people in that part of the world. We are not only dependent upon the Lord, we are also dependent upon each other. So we must be careful to encourage one another. We must build each other up in the faith. And as those who belong to Jesus Christ, we must work together as a team for the glory of God. But now, concerning Apollos, Paul adds in verse 12, our dear brother in the faith, whom you know very well, well, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brothers and with Timothy. But that was not at all his desire to come to you, at least not right now. But he will come to you when he has the opportunity. Eucharel in Greek, when the time is right. Look, if we're one in Christ, then we should be one with each other, shouldn't we? And we should be in harmony, should be in unity in the faith, in the truth. And though it is certainly tough sledding at times, we do not have to go it alone as we move forward together in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.